Okay, thank you so much, Chanel. Well, hello, everybody. Like she said, my name is Melinda. I'm a compulsive overeater from Texas. I'm going to ask for a little grace. I'm having to drink tea tonight because it's allergy season in Texas, and my voice is holding on for dear life. And so, what I've decided is that when higher power decides I've had enough to say, like literally my voice is just going to disappear. Like, how great would that be to have your voice just vanish when you've said enough? So, because sometimes my voice gets me in a little bit of trouble. So, I'm just going to trust that my voice will last for as long as whatever needs to be shared this evening. But I love that there's a meeting about working with others and sponsorship, because to me, the sponsorship relationship was and is kind of a mystery. You know, it's something that you're supposed to do and find and get. You're supposed to be a sponsee, you're supposed to be a sponsor, but I hadn't really found a how-to book on how to do it. And I am a queen of checklists and processes, and I'm like, somebody give me a list so I can knock it out and get it done and move on with my days. And quite frankly, that's kind of how I came into program. And initially, I was really resistant to the idea of having a sponsor. And I think it was because it feels really vulnerable to ask somebody for help when you're in need and when you're desperate and when you're broken. Because, like most addicts, I was very self-sufficient. I just wanted to handle things on my own. And I thought I could just show up, read a book, get magically healed, and then move on with my life. And I didn't understand the healing that happens in the beautiful relationship between sponsor and sponsee. And so the agreement I made with myself in program was I'll try it for 30 days, and if I'm still here, I'll find a sponsor. Well, I got to 30 days and I was like, well, crap. I thought I would quit by now, but I didn't. So I heard a gentleman talk in a meeting, and I just was so moved by his gentleness, his honesty, and his kindness. Something about that felt so inviting to me. Because I had been a person who dealt in the world of shoulds and coulds and shame and judgment. And so something tender and gentle just felt like maybe something I would need. So I reached out to him and asked him to be my sponsor. He had been in program for 10 years, and I was his very first sponsee. He told me later when I texted him, he was terrified. He was like, my sponsor told me I was supposed to sponsor, but I was off the hook because nobody asked me and you asked me and it scared me to death. And I said, well, it scared me to death to ask you. So we were just scared together and figured it out. And I've been in program now for 5.5 years, and he is still my sponsor to this day. And he is a very, very dear friend. And the way that he sponsored with me was not what I thought I wanted at the time, but it's what I needed. He said to me, he said, we're not going to blow through the steps. We're not going to blow through books. We're going to spend your first 3 months in program in steps one, two, and three. He said, because if you don't accept the reality that your life is unmanageable, there is a power that is greater than yourself, and it's that power that restores you to sanity. If you're not sure about those three things, there's no way you can complete the steps that remain. Because you'll either try to do them in your own power or you'll just leave because they're too overwhelming. And at first, like I said, I just wanted to get this done. I am so grateful he did that to me. And the reason he did it to me is because that's what his sponsor did with him. And once I had the security in my relationship with him and in my relationship with my higher power, you know, the big book talks about the God of your understanding. And for me, through the context of my sponsorship relationship, my understanding of God has changed. That I can actually go to my sponsor when I'm not perfect. I can go to my sponsor when I'm struggling. I can go to my sponsor when I don't know what to do. And I can do all those things with my higher power I just never did before. And so eventually we had the conversation of, Melinda, part of this program is carrying the message. Part of the program is sponsoring others. And I felt the same terror that he probably felt when his sponsor said that to him. But I started to raise my hand in meetings and say that I was available to sponsor, not really sure what I was doing. And I'll be honest, it was kind of a bumpy ride at first because I felt like I was doing what I thought a sponsor was supposed to do. A sponsor is supposed to eventually take you through the steps, do all these things. But what I discovered is that I was putting more pressure on myself for the success of my sponsee than I was just surrendering the whole process to my higher power and being a servant in it. I had to learn that I am here to serve. I am not here to save. I don't have the power to save you from your disease. I don't have the power to save me from my disease. But I 100% can journey with you. I can just be another bozo on the bus, and that's the way I am with my sponsees. And what's really interesting is the kind of relationship and the little sort of area that I seem to be invited to be a part of is with people who have experienced sponsor loss. And sponsor loss could be maybe the sponsor said, "This relationship isn't working anymore. You're gonna have to find someone else to work with." I worked with someone who fired their sponsor because they felt like their sponsor was very militant about everything, and that felt too much like their childhood. And for a while, I worked with a sponsee whose sponsor unexpectedly passed away. And she was in a meeting and she said, "I don't even know which way is up." And so it seems for me, the way that I carry the message is that higher power uses me to help be a safe place just for other people to land. And when we land together with each person that I work with, I really want to have a conversation about what's important to you in program. What are you looking for in a sponsor? What have you tried so far that hasn't worked? What is something that you didn't have that you wish you did? And a sponsee that I'm currently working with now, she had fired her prior sponsor and almost left the program because she was so discouraged. And she asked me, and I said, "Let's have a conversation." And what I do is I meet with them. We talk on the phone first, and then we meet over Zoom because I think it's important to have kind of that eyeball-to-eyeball contact as best as you can. And I talk about how here are the things that other sponsees have done with me. Tell me if this is of interest to you. Taking a screenshot of your food and sending it every day, logging your food, sending your plan, checking in with your commitment for the day. What is something you're looking for? And the sponsee I'm working with now said, "It would stress me out to have to send you my food every day because I just wouldn't want to do it. That feels really overwhelming." So I said, "Well, okay, then let's not do that. Like, it's okay to not do that. I don't have to have her share her food with me." So what we're doing now, she said, "You know what I would like to do is I would like to just eat three vegetables a day sometime throughout the day and drink my water." So I said, "All right, well, how about you send me a text at the end of the day and tell me what three veggies you ate and if you drank your water?" And she said, "Okay." And so we're doing that, right? And she really struggles with IBS, and gluten is not her friend. Gluten is also not my friend. I'm also gluten-free, so I understand that struggle. But she was really struggling with giving it up. And she's like, "I know I'm supposed to, but I can't do it." And it became this every time she engaged, it was another failure. And she began to lose hope in the program. So I said to her, I said, "What if you didn't give it up forever? What if tomorrow morning you just didn't have it at breakfast and do whatever you want the rest of the day?" And she said, "Maybe I could do that." And so she texted me after her breakfast. She was eating at work at a cafeteria. And she said, "I walked by those croissants and I didn't touch it." When I tell you the text party I threw for her for doing that, what a huge deal. Anytime we have a shift or a slight change in a pattern, that means that things are being shaken up and old patterns are being challenged and broken. Now, does she have gluten at lunch and dinner? Sure, she did. But this is a program of progress and not perfection. And just like I've learned that our disease is progressive, if we don't deal with our disease, it will progressively take us out. Our healing is progressive too. We don't just show up one day and suddenly find ourselves healed. We heal a little bit at a time. We wake up a little bit more at a time. And I think for me, the importance of flexibility in the relationship with the sponsor is to be able to communicate what I need. My sponsee can communicate what she needs. And then we can change the way we interact together. So for my sponsor, we will interact kind of daily through texts. And then we have a weekly Zoom call that we just connect with each other and talk. It's Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, which is perfect for me because at weekends is when I struggle. So to be able to have a kind of an end of week debrief with my sponsor and be focused on the meeting, the meetings on the weekend. And then my sponsor and I are also in a big book meeting together. And that helps me stay connected. And that was one thing that my sponsor recommended was get yourself in a big book meeting. Because if you're just going to meetings where people are just sharing and talking, he says it very easily becomes sort of a Dear Diary experience and you don't hear program. You need to know the truth of program, and that has to be your foundation. And so I am grateful for the big book. I stay in that study. And another thing that's a little bit different that I shifted, that my sponsor did the 12 steps with me. And he was very gracious. When we got to ready to do step four, he said, "Look, I know this is going to be difficult. And if you don't feel comfortable talking about these things with me as an, as an older male, we can find you another sponsor to do this with or another place. I don't want you to do anything you're uncomfortable with." But we'd spent those first 3 months together and I'd built such a relationship of trust with him. And he actually reminded me a lot of my father who passed away many, many years ago. And so that mentoring, nurturing, caring presence that had been a void in my life, I got that gift through my sponsor. And so I got to revisit some of the wounds and the patterns of my past and get healed with that, sort of with my dad, but with my sponsor. And that really helped me release a lot of resentments and worries and concerns. And honestly, there is not anything that I would hold back from that man. And he is the only person in my life that I can say that about. And what a tremendous gift it has been, and how transforming it has been. Because as someone who's a performer, as someone who has the onstage Melinda and the quiet Melinda that struggles with things and doesn't want people to know things are hard, I've learned that onstage Melinda and backstage Melinda can actually occupy the same space and should. And so, because I have the freedom to be vulnerable with my sponsor, I have the freedom to be vulnerable with my sponsees and to be vulnerable in a meeting. I mean, I haven't met any of you, but I have zero hesitation about sharing my soul with you because I know you're my people and I'm your person. And we're just in this thing together. And this disease is no respecter of persons or anything. We are all just in this disease together. And we get better together by healing. Because one thing my sponsor always says to me, he says, "Melinda, your mind is a dangerous place to go alone. It's like walking through a really, really dark alley, and your disease is standing there in a trench coat, and it opens it up and says, 'Hey, you want one of these?' Right? And if it's just you and your disease and a trench coat, you're not going to make a good decision." And so the importance of community, the importance of connection, and I think just the importance of being willing to be of service. And my agreement is when I do have folks that reach out to me and want to be sponsors, like I said, I've tended to land in this place of sponsor loss, and that's not the only thing I'm open to. My practice is that we're gonna build a relationship. We're gonna kind of focus on food and a plan of eating, but then I encourage my sponsees to actually go to a 12-step study and experience the steps in the power of community. And I do that myself once a year. I find a 12-step study to go through. And it has been really powerful and changing because I think the dynamic, the sponsor-sponsee relationship is really important. But there is a higher power in the meeting and in these rooms. And when we hear the experience and the strength and the hope and the struggles and the uncertainties of a number of people, we only become better. We start to say, "Oh, me too." Or, "I used to do that with food. And you know what? That is kind of crazy. I never thought that was crazy because that's just what I did." And so I think the importance of empowerment, the importance of community, but also to not risk getting burned out. Because it is really easy to substitute one addiction for another. And sometimes we get addicted to recovery. Sometimes we get addicted to meetings. Sometimes we get addicted to the emotional high and emotional release. And I think that we have to look that Are we filling our schedules with busyness because the quiet is too uncomfortable? We have to be uncomfortable in the quiet. Meditation is so important. The concept of prayer and meditation, for prayer is me voicing to my higher power. Meditation is when I just stay quiet and listen. And I struggle with meditation, so I go to meetings to do that. I have a sponsee that struggles with that too. And so I encourage her, just find a meeting with meditation. Go to one that's 15 minutes long and just try it and see what you think, right? And to give those places, and I encourage folks to try things. And if it doesn't work, it's not the end of the world. It just didn't work for you. Or maybe it didn't work for you today, but it might work for you next week. And so what I found is my relationships are very organic. They ebb and they flow. And my relationship with my higher power ebbs and flows. My relationship with healing ebbs and flows. And I've learned that it is okay if I feel like I have like dry or darker spells, because maybe I just needed to pause. I'm such a doer and I'm such a goer and I'm such a lister that I forget the human being part. I forget the resting. And resting is an important part of healing, because if we go, 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 and then we are nothing but exhausted, we don't have time to recuperate. If you go exercise every day, your muscles don't get a chance to heal and you're going to get injured. I think the same thing happens in program. If we're, there are seasons for 90 meetings in 90 days. And I did that when I first started, because honestly, when I got here, I thought y'all were a cult and I didn't know what any of you were talking about. I didn't understand the language. And so I thought, let me just try different meetings and see if I hear my story. And by the end of the 90 days, I drank the Kool-Aid and I was part of the cult. And I am glad to be in it, because I have found more freedom and joy and peace and authenticity in myself in OA. These meetings are the most honest hours of my life. I can come in and I can share, and then I start giving to the world who I have been created to be, as opposed to who I had to become because of my disease. See, those are two different people. Our diseases, they transform us and we become survivors of those things. But when our diseases start to lose their power and lose their hold on us, and then we start to become free to be who we are, that's the person that we are called to bring to the world. That's the person who shows up to carry the message. That's the person who's going to be able to speak honestly to a newcomer, who has the courage to walk into a meeting for the first time, to log into a meeting. I think that's the hardest part of program, is your first meeting, your first acknowledgement that you have a disease and that you need help. And so, honestly, that was one of the first things that kept me coming back, because I saw people that had been in program for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And I thought, there's something that keeps them coming back. And I've often heard the phrase, stay until the miracle happens. But what I've learned, the miracle happens every day. The miracles continue to happen. Every day is a gift of abstinence. Every day is a gift of authenticity. Every day is a gift to be of service to our fellows. And if I am able to come be of service to you, then I take my eyes off of my own issues. And you know what? My own story encourages me. I love coming to meetings because I come away so pumped and so excited, because I feel the energy that you bring, and my heart fills up with the things that food could never give me, with things that compulsive behaviors and compulsive eating could never give. And that's why it's never enough. My sponsor says to me, he said, this is $1 million program that
One
you get a
minute.
nickel at a time. Thank you, Shay. It's $1 million program. You get a nickel at a time. And I'm here to show up for my nickel. And I don't care if it comes in pennies. I don't care how I get it. I am grateful to have it. So thank you so much for coming this evening and allowing me just to be of service and to share my story. And I am so looking forward to just hearing from you and having my own heart and soul blessed. Thanks for letting me be of service.